We looked at 4 case studies along the northern border and 4 case studies along the southern border to get our arms around necessary conditions or capacities or models that drive collaborative endeavors. And, you know, we looked at case studies that simply involved local actors. We looked at case studies that involved state-provincial actors, state-state actors, and case studies that involved the federal government as well. And the results were quite intriguing. I suppose the big finding, the most interesting finding, is that there really are examples of success at both the northern and southern borders. It might sound a little counterintuitive given how the borders are portrayed in the media, and they are quite different in some very significant ways, but we found at least that the same policy drivers are present at the northern border and southern border, meaning you have examples of successful collaboration that involve multiple actors from each scale of government, local government, state government, and federal government, as well as actors from the public sector, the private sector, and the non-governmental sector. So you really see a broad array of actors attempting to address these really, really difficult environmental issues. You also see institutional structures that are set up equally. One interviewee referred to it as the Noah's Ark principle of institutional collaboration.
I love that term, by the way. Yeah, describe what the Noah's Ark principle is.
Well, it essentially means setting up an institutional structure that encourages consensus where all the actors sitting at the table have the same clout. So, for example, if we are talking about an environmental collaboration on the northern border, it would be a structure that ensures that both the actors representing the United States and Canada have equal representation at the table. It's a structure that encourages consensus. And we found that those entities or those models actually fared quite better than models that did not have a 2x2 structure.
One of your lessons learned that you called from these examples was, and this seems to me to be job number one, but having a codified and purposeful mission. And so often the missions of some of these collaboration efforts can really get muddied because you have so many people involved. You need to be very clear about what you want to do.
I think that's exactly right. I think the clearer the purpose, the clearer the mission, and I would even go beyond that, as our findings suggest, and as you just mentioned, a mission that is actually codified, whether it be simply a memorandum of understanding among the parties or something as elaborate as a treaty, but something that is codified sets participants on the right path and actually provides them with both legitimacy and authority to make decisions and act.
And I know sometimes people get frustrated with that. It feels like the planning part of it and that coming up with the mission statements and those kinds of things can feel like, okay, we need to actually get to doing the work. But I believe it was one of the Canadian ones, if you don't have that in place, really you can get lost in all sorts of stuff. All the other pieces don't fall into place.
That's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. It institutionalizes cooperation and it formalizes relationships, actually sending a signal that a particular issue is important. In the words of one interviewee, I believe he said it indicates that they've arrived, that you know, they all are sitting down at the table with a clear purpose in mind.
And one of your sort of the next step of that would be making sure that you have some kind of organizational structure that everybody agrees to. Again, this can seem sort of formulistic, almost like we're not actually doing the stuff. We're getting ready to do the stuff, but very important to have in place so everyone agrees.
That's right. It's the pre-planning, in fact, that we found that was so important to setting up successful collaborative endeavors. And it is a lot of work, and it is a big lift, and it takes a lot of time on the part of the interested actors. But it really seems to have made the difference between endeavors or collaborations that met with success and those that didn't. And even saying that, I think I would be remiss if I didn't add that this, collaborating across an international boundary is it's a tough business.
Yeah.
It's really, really difficult. And although there are successes, many stakeholders suggested that much more needed to be done in order to move international cross-boundary collaboration forward. It's just very, very difficult navigating two different political systems, bringing all these actors together, et cetera, et cetera.
And in terms of coming up with an organizational structure, there was no one-size-fits-all. There's not like you should do this. It really has to fit. You have to make it work for you. The big thing is getting agreement. It's almost like starting to collaborate on that kind of stuff helps you in the eventual collaboration of the hard issues.
That's absolutely correct. We didn't necessarily find that, you know, one structure was the solution to, you know, one size fits all. It really, really depends on the actors, the issues on the table. But again, if a structure could be set up with in a 2x2 manner, it certainly helps further the issue along.
We're talking to Dr. Friedman. She is one of the authors of the new report out, and we have it linked up, DoraBeckInsider.com. It's called Environmental Collaborations, Lesson Learned About Cross-Border Collaborations. I want you to touch a bit on, you mentioned earlier, getting the right people, having the right people around the table. If that doesn't happen, then it's not going to work, is it?
Well, that's correct. I mean, we did come across examples, for example, at the local government level, where local government officials are reaching across the international border and forging collaborations with their counterparts. However, they tend not to go as far as quickly as collaborations that involve states in both the United States and Mexico, or states and provinces, if we're talking about the northern border, or the federal government. That being said, the local government officials tend to be critical in these endeavors. They provide a certain amount of legitimacy that the higher levels of government may not bring to the table. On the other hand, the state level or federal level officials provide a certain authority. They provide a certain heft to a collaborative endeavor, because they have the capacity, they have the resources, they have the expertise that you may not find at the local government level.